Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue looking at the issue of missing black girls in the District of Columbia tonight. My guests are Onari Lene. She is a youth advocate and also founder of Healing Broken Wings Incorporated. We also have Derica Wilson, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation, and Valencia Harris, mother of Unique Harris. Unique vanished from her home 6 years ago here in Washington, D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Richard, calling from Northwest. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Just fine. Everybody? Just fine. What's on your mind?
I'd like to say, first and foremost, America is more divided than it's ever been. Black people are under more violence than anyone. Percentage-wise, they're directed at violence. You got black-on-black crime versus all of the racial hatred from every race. You got genocizing from years ago.
So what does this have to do with the issue that we're discussing tonight about missing girls?
You know, that's what I'm getting at. If you can add what I'm saying and put the pieces together, it's nothing new. It's just, unfortunately, the right person may have brought the issue up. This is nothing new.
Okay.
You got less parenting in the black neighborhood.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, which brings me back to Derica. Derica, right before the break, we were talking about trafficking, but we were also talking about runaways. Are these two different issues? I mean, if you have girls that are running away because they're either coming from difficult situations at home, or they're running away because they just don't like their mama, because mama said you need to be in at 9 o'clock. And you want to hang out until 10, and then you've got the trafficking issue. Talk to me about that.
Well, the first thing we need to clarify is, are these children actually runaways? See, that's the classification that law enforcement labeled them as, and runaways do not get the Amber Alert. So that's the first issue. Secondly, with human trafficking, people need to understand that this is a multi-billion dollar industry that is happening right here on U.S. soil. And just last year alone, there were 85 reports of human trafficking cases in Washington, D.C. that was reported to the Polaris Group. People also need to understand that Maryland rates in the top five for states that have an issue with human trafficking. You have the Baltimore port, you have the 495 corridor, and we just had a case recently, 2 weeks ago, where a young girl was trafficked from Baltimore and was found in Prince George's County. And see, it takes a village. It takes law enforcement, the media, and the community, because a vigilant tipster, a vigilant citizen, called in a tip because the law enforcement took the complaint, the case. The media put the story out there, and of course someone saw it and heard it and reported it.
But don't miss my point, because anecdotally speaking, you know, and I know in our newsroom, I mean, we report on, you know, the police send us missing girl information. We talk about it, and then 3 or 4 days later, you know, Jane Doe has been found, but we don't hear any other information about where she was, why she was gone. And this isn't just D.C. This is Prince George's County. This is Montgomery County. You know, we do it all the time. And mm-hmm. So, you know, you say that, you know, the chief says that these are runaways. Sounds right to me, because it's my understanding that when girls are trafficked, they're not snatched off the street. These girls are seduced. They are pulled in by smooth talking villains, and I'm not being melodramatic here.
Mm-hmm. You're right, but you also have to understand we're talking about children under the age of 18 years old, and so in so many cases, the level of sensitivity that's there, sometimes this information is not for public information, and also depending on what the situation is, further investigation and follow-up is warranted. Was this a case of human trafficking? Was this a case of domestic violence? Was this a case of mental health issues? The fact that they're found is great, but there's other underlying issues that can come into play that is always not available for the public.
Which causes a problem. And I think that's the difficulty, because like you said, if there's a domestic violence issue regarding the child, sexual abuse or something like that, if the police only say the girl was found, then are they not doing the job in informing the public? Because if you just hear that the girl is found, that can be scary, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So
let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Andrea calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. So I am a case manager. I don't work in crime victims anymore since I moved here, but I do want to help out. So if you guys share that information. But when I lived in Washington State, there was a big dilemma of human trafficking as well, because you have a port from Seattle. And then you have people, attorneys, that do passport bills and traffic people in from other countries for sex, for working in these gas stations. And people complain and say, oh, the Iranians are taking over. They don't realize most of those employees are not the owners. They have been trafficked in as well. And, you know, they don't say it. But I'm going back to the girls. I feel in my gut, it's just telling me human trafficking. Because I understand they may not be able to release the information about where, just like you guys were saying, where they were found, but they should keep that in a database, because a lot of times they may run away and they have been found in a place where sex trafficking occurred. Okay, so maybe you can't release that to the public because of their age, but you can keep that and notice how many times are we finding these girls at this house, okay, and start looking at the people, because typically with young girls, you know, I'm not going to say for the DMV because I'm coming from Washington State. What we found with the ones that ran away, they still kept up with it. If they were safe and not in a human trafficking situation, maybe they ran away to their friends, they still kept up with their social media. They still kept up with their Twitter, even though they might have been ignoring mom and dad because they were upset. Mm-hmm. But then when there's no existence of them whatsoever, then 9 times out of 10, it does end up becoming a case of human trafficking.
Okay.
So, like I said, I just want to know what I can do. I want to volunteer, and I really want to help out whatever.
Well, let
me
see what Derica can offer quickly before I go back to our guest. Derica, if she wants to help out, what should she do?
I would encourage communication is the key. One of the things that we can do as a community is continue having these conversations. If you are a parent, talk to your children, create these fictitious accounts, see what your children are saying, what they're doing, whether they're your children, your nieces, your nephews. They're giving out a whole lot of information on social media, which is very alarming as well. Look at the apps they're downloading, because they're giving out this information while we're utilizing social media to try to find them. These predators are utilizing social media to recruit them. Mm-hmm. Human trafficking is real.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call, Andrea. Valencia, do you believe that the authorities exhausted all of their resources to find your daughter? I mean, it has been 6 years.
Not initially. Initially, of course, it was Kathy Lanier's regime at the D.C. Police Department. And me personally, no, I do not think that under her regime it was taken as seriously as it was supposed to. And I say that using this example, there was a documentary film that was being done on my daughter's case. And, you know, she tried to, you know, throw an obstacle in my way and deny my request for, you know, that interview with the police department, you know, for that documentary. Of course, you know, you have to be willing to stand on the mountain of no's to get to that one yes. So in me, you know, going, you know, further and not accepting that, then the decision was changed to go ahead and do the documentary. But I must say, under the new chief, Peter Newsham, he has already had a sit-down discussion with me. he has also, you know, made me a promise to reach out, you know, in the D.C. area as well as outside of the community where Unique was prior to moving back to D.C.
Where was she?
At Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
And as Derica said, you know, Unique was only in her apartment for 5 weeks before she was taken.
When she was in Richmond, was there anyone that you know of who would have wanted to do her harm?
No, not at all.
No boyfriends, no beefs with anyone whatsoever?
Not at all. I mean, she was going through a, you know, custody battle with my grandson's father. Now, you know, as I've told the police from earlier on, you know, I think that family should have been taken a whole lot more seriously because, you know, for my grandson's father to not even be polygraphed for 8 months, that's like, you know, we all know that time is of the essence in these situations. Mm. 8 months is a long time to, you know, have to wait for, in my opinion, the first person of interest to even be polygraphed. But now, as I said, you know, under that was under Kathy Lanier's regime. Now, under Chief Peter Newsom's regime thus far, he's been very helpful and very instrumental and, you know, offered us, you know, any resources that he has available to him. And he has lived up on his first promise to me in that interview in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Fred calling from Upper Marlboro. What's on your mind, Fred?
What's on my mind is that I think, and both of you all touched on, as I listened to you and was waiting, that parenting, and this is not an insult to the mother that's there, but parenting young girls, you should not allow internet access unsupervised. I have daughters, and I always, and this is before the internet was so popular, when it was just starting, and my rule was, we can give you a cell phone, but it's going to be a basic cell phone that only allows for calling, sometimes texting, and if children can be drawn in by the most clever of characters, and a lot of times the police will look at cases as a runaway when, okay, yeah, she was a runaway, but she ran away because she was enticed to do so.
She was running away from something or running to something. You know, that always seems to be the case. But Fred, thank you so much for sharing with us. Inari, is that realistic now in 2017 where you only give your child a phone for calling? I mean, let's be honest now.
I have four children, and my oldest son is 10 years old. No. I think that the part that we are missing is that, like you said before, these children are being romanced into being taken away. It's not like these are just random people in each of these cases that just run up and snatch a child off the block. I was able to have a conversation with a young lady who did not make the town hall meeting last night, who was seduced by someone over time. They would meet her at her bus stop on her way home, and she got to know this young lady because a lot of times it seems to be that there are women that are being used to do so. And this woman just kept talking to her, and then eventually she took her. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, she turned into the person that then was used to snatch other young ladies and young boys.
Because she was groomed.
We're missing the fact that the boys are missing too. And so unfortunately, once these children were taken away, then they have no voice because they thought that this was someone that they could trust. And they've lost their sight for that.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation about missing black and brown girls here in the District of Columbia. When we come back, we're also going to talk to Mervia, calling from Northeast D.C. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue discussing the issue of missing black girls in D.C. tonight. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mervia, calling from Northeast. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, yes. I'm calling in reference to the topic.
Yes, go right ahead.
Because as a parent of five grown children and one minor, it really I'm very concerned about the human trafficking. And as far as the case with Felicia Rudd, I was housed in D.C. General during the time of Tatum Tate's employment. And he actually was very fresh and flirted with me. He offered me housing at another one of his apartments. And when I heard about the incident, I was devastated. It has heightened my awareness to actually help and intervene when I see things that are not safe and are not right.
Mm-hmm.
Just this weekend, I was in the Brentwood area, and I had to use the restroom. There was a young lady who was DST, and when I went into the bathroom, she was stuck in the stall, and she asked me to get her some tissue. Her mindset would not allow her to leave out of that bathroom. She had told me she had been there for like at least 20 minutes or so. And a staff person was supposed to get back with her. I gave her the tissue under the stall, and I told her next time she has to hop from one to the other and lock the door and take care of her business and get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm not...
I need you to be more specific. I've got folks on the line, Mervia.
Yes, I'm not professionally equipped to be able to address situations like that.
Uh-huh.
What, as a citizen, a concerned, caring citizen, should I have done better? Or is there a hotline to follow up if you see something? You know, like Memento has, see something, say something.
Derica?
A number. Should there be a number for this?
I think we may have lost. Okay, I think we may have lost Derica. Anari, do you have a suggestion when someone sees something that is questionable?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, short of calling 911, mm-hmm. You know.
Of course, because absolutely my first answer would be to call 911. That's what we're trained to do. They're supposed to come and respond. But like I stated before, we have places here in the District of Columbia that are doing the work. They're in the trenches. Blacks Are Missing, Courtney's House, the Exodus Project. These are programs that are working directly with children that are being trafficked. The young lady from Courtney's.
I did take down some of them tonight. I heard you, and mm-hmm. I wrote down two of them because that's all I could write down the amount of time, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that information, Mervia, it'll be on the website around 8:30 tonight, after 8:30 on WHUR.com. So certainly thank you so much for sharing with us. Let me go to Diamond. Diamond calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Diamond. What's on your mind?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm calling because I have a teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so scary what's going on out here nowadays. So my advice is, this is what I told my daughter. I said, listen here. If anybody pulls up beside you, because she gets on the bus to go to school, if anybody pulls up beside you at the bus stop, anywhere, slow down or anything, I don't care if that's your bus. If it's not your bus, get on the bus, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her a whistle. You blow that whistle. If you think it's a problem, you blow that whistle. Blow it as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody runs up on you, then you have to do what you have to do. And I told her, you know, tactics, you know, that you have to do to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if they come to you, toward you, you know, you have your book bag. And nowadays, these children have these big, gigantic book bags on them. Shoot.
Yeah.
Throw that book bag on top of his head and kick him between them legs and go on about your business. Run.
Well, there you go, Diamond. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Anari, talk to me about the takeaway. Was anything solved last night? Do you think that there was any resolution coming out of the town hall meeting?
I think that the mayor, the police chief, they were able to actually hear the pain, the frustration, the fear, And I think that the community had some substance to walk away with. But I think that the reality of what we did not get was a clear-cut way to prevent our children from being taken. And there is not really a clear-cut way to say these are the steps you perform and your children will be safe every day. But that's what people are looking for. And that's because we as a community are scared.
And nothing is 100%. What a lot of people don't understand is, you know, it takes professional expertise. You know, Unique's promoter, Henderson Long, you know, he's very good at giving information.
The promoter?
Yeah. He's been promoting Unique, you know, and
you're trying to keep it in the public eye. Is that what you're
saying? He has been assisting me in keeping it in the public eye. I mean, we have a page that's been set up for Unique. It's called Awaiting Unique's Safe Return. We have another event planner page that we have set up called A Unique Event. His actual company is Upward Bound Promotions. And we have been working tirelessly when, you know, Anari talks about people that have been in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in these trenches for almost 7 years now. And I am, you know, appreciative that it is being taken more seriously now. But, you know, we've been taking this thing seriously for years, you know, and, you know, it's certain things that can be done immediately. You know, I'm just going to, you know, say such as, you know, parents, you know, having open communication with their children. You know, one of the things that I used to have with my children all the time was like a parent night, sit down with them and talk about their day and what's going on with them. You know, when Unique came up missing 6 years ago, you know, her and I would talk regularly, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I know that, you know, she wasn't compromising her safety in any way, you know, because, you know, that's one of the initial reactions that you get from the police department is that, you know, she was doing something unsafe, you know. And, you know, a lot of these myths have to be, you know, dismantled. And I appreciate, you know, like I said, all, you know, the people that are, you know, taking it, you know, more seriously now. But like I said, we've been taking it, you know, serious way before now. And it's a lot of things that they can do, you know, to immediately affect it, like being willing to sit down and talk to us survivors. I mean, because how can you, you know, represent a movement and you are not even connecting and engaging with the root of the movement.
Let me, speaking of communicating this larger issue, Anari, what part do you think that race does play in this, you know, and the media? I mean, I mentioned, you know, this is a, you know, black radio station, mm-hmm. black owned radio station focusing on African-American issues.
Mm-hmm.
But even for us, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we could literally do a show every day
mm-hmm.
on missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you're talking about, you know, media in the broader perspective, what part do you think race plays in this? When you're talking about getting the not only getting the word out, but calling attention to this?
The reality behind it is we as brown people. Overall have to fight a little bit harder for our voices to be heard. That is just the reality and the climate of the United States, period, not just the District of Columbia. But what we have to understand is that here in the District of Columbia, we have some really powerful people on our side that are willing to fight for us now. You know, we were told last night by different people that stood up and spoke on behalf of the council member and on behalf of the ANCs, write letters. And I know that it sounds redundant, but you really have. Let's just be honest. Our council member, Trayon White, has not been in office that long.
And yeah, he's new.
When he heard that this was going on, this was a phone call that we had where he said, I need for you to have a conversation with my commissioners and we all need to do something. That's what he lives by. Don't just stand there. Do something. And that's what's happening in our community. And so we as a people have to understand that just standing up and screaming is not going to make it happen. You have to write letters. You have to understand. Chanel Dickerson is from the District of Columbia. For that reason alone, she understands your fear and your pain because she grew up in these streets and you have an accessible line to these people. You don't have to look at them like they're just on TV or they're far, far away. You know, we didn't all go to college. We don't all have a master's degree, but you can still write your letter in your language and they will hear you and they will respond.
But here's the catch 22. Because she, before she became commander, the website only had Relisha Rudd on it.
Right.
For years.
Right.
And then she flipped the switch and she said, I'm going to bring this to the attention of the people of the District of Columbia. Then there are dozens and dozens and dozens of girls on the website. Was that a mistake? Because some people got scared when right. they didn't think about this issue before.
But yeah, right. we don't, a lot of times, we don't want to know. Some of us like to live with the blinders on that these things aren't happening to us.
No, but even if you want to know, let's assume that you want to know. If nobody tells you,
right.
then you go on about your life.
So then are we mad at her for telling us this information?
And that's the question.
Right. But we can't be mad at her for telling us this information. You have to understand she's only been in her position since December.
So she's telling us now, and we saw all of those people at that town hall. I think that for whatever reason, you now have an army.
Yes.
An army of people that can communicate, an army of people, whether they are in Southeast or Northeast or anywhere in the city,
Absolutely.
That are now aware. And if you hear that your child is afraid, then the brothers that are out there, as well as the moms, this is an opportunity for everybody to stand up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to thank both of you for coming in, and also Derica Wilson for sharing with us on this program. Obviously, it's not going to end here. And certainly, Valencia, I certainly hope that your daughter comes home.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I really, really do. And Anari, thank you so much
thank
for sharing
you.
With
you
us as well. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR, on Twitter. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC,